Okay. Let's discuss now the Gemara. We did last week finish up certain things about Lamed Aleph and Lamed Gimel on the base, and then we did Lamed Gimel on the base a Kravi the Ravidi Barabin as well. Lamed Gimel Lamed Aleph and Lamed Gimel on the base. So now we're going to go back to, as last week we did Lamed Gimel Lamed Aleph and Lamed Gimel on the base, is what I'm saying. Now we're going to go back to Lamed Aleph Lamed Aleph, where we left off. And that's at the two dots. This is where we left off 2 weeks ago. Last week was a continuation, but just in a different place. Zeomer Shalavosai, Zeomer Shalavosai. Everybody have it? The two dots towards the bottom of the page on Lamed Aleph Lamed Aleph. Zeomer Shalavosai, Zeomer Shalavosai. Each one claims, again, that this is property that was owned by his ancestors, meaning that he comes as property by means of Yerusha. There's a stira, apparent stira, contradiction between these two claims. Hi Isisadi Davose, the Ochla Shnei Chazaka. Hi Isisadi, the Ochla Shnei Chazaka. So, in the previous case, we had the one person bringing evidence that the ancestors indeed owned the property. The other one brought the evidence that he's been living there for 3 years. In this case, it's a little bit different. You have, again, the claim and counterclaim that are seemingly contradictory. But the claim also includes Alka Shnei Chazaka. One brings evidence that his father owned the property and that he was in the property for 3 years. And the other one can only bring evidence that he was there for 3 years. Okay. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Nachman, or Nachman says, that Uki Achila Lebahadi Achila, the Uki Ara Becheskas Havase. You have one set of Edom that say Havase belonged to your parents and you were there 3 years. The other one, Edom say you were there for 3 years. So what you do is you take the Edos on the 3 years and you cancel them out, right? And what's left is that one side has Edos on the Havos, and that side wins. That's the Gemara, that's from Nachman's conclusion. And Rabbah is not so comfortable with this idea. Amale Rabbah, Edus Mukheshesi. Because he says, listen, in the previous case, you had Zeo Mashal Abosai, and the other one said, Zeo Chel Gimel Shana. But there's no Stira, there's no Hakasha. It's very possible that the ancestors of A own the property. And it's still quite possible that B has been living in the property for the last 3 years. So there's no stira in the Edus at all. But here, you do have a stira. You have akasha, you have trey utrey when it comes to the evidence about being there for 3 years. So the normal rule in trey utrey, we'll discuss this more fully, is a trey and trey cancel each other out in some way, right? That's what trey utrey means. It's called Edus akasha. And you can't operate with Edus akasha. So Rava is saying, listen, you have Edus akasha. Each set of Edom is implicitly calling the other Edom liars, and therefore you have a deadlock. Rav Nachman is saying, no, in the area in which they contradict, they cancel each other out, and what's left, even though these Edom, what they are contradicted by the other Edom, they're not contradicted on this Edus. That's the issue. When it comes to Trey Utrey, do we only care about the Stira and the Edom? Or do we care about the stira regarding the chafza shel edus? And here, there's no stira on shalavosai. Once you've canceled out cheskas gimel shanim, you remain with marakama, and he should win the case. That's Rava's argument. That's Rav Nachman's argument. And Rava says, no, edus mukhashasi. Amalei, that's what Rav Nachman answered him, nei, diskachish bachilasa. It's true that they contradict each other regarding Gimel Shanim, Yachila Mekarka, but Baba say, Mi is Kachish. Do they contradict each other when it comes to the issue of Shalavosai? Well, the truth is, this is a very interesting argument. On the surface, it would seem like Rav Nachman, at least to me, well, initially at least, one would think that Rav Nachman has the best of this argument. Before you go on with the Gemara, we'll see a different perspective mainly. But basically, it seems like Rav Nachman has the best of the argument, just because of the contradiction when it comes to Gimel Shanim. But the fact is that they don't clash when it comes to the issue of Avosai. on what basis would Rava think that these two things overlap to such an extent that the Hakash on one, right, also limits the Eidus of the other? That's an interesting question. I said a second ago it could be a Din of the Eidim. Very possible. And, okay, we'll read a little further first, and then we'll see. But maybe yes and maybe not. So the Gemara says, Lema Rabba Rav Nachman. Initially the Gemara says, Lema Rabba Rav Nachman, the Pluk to the Rav Huda Rav Kizda Kamiflagi. Maybe this argument between Rav and Rav Nachman, whether or not we cancel out the Stira and can still retain part of the Eidus, right, the part where there's no Stira, maybe this depends on the argument, another argument between Rav Huda and Rav Kizda. What is that argument? Following argument. Very important argument. You have two groups of Eidim, right? And they are contradicting each other. So now the question is a different question. Forget about what goes on in the Din Torah. Well, it's a straight case of tray or tray. So we know what goes. Din Torah is paralyzed. All things being equal. We'll discuss soon what happens if there are other factors in the case. But from an Eidim's point of view, you have tray or tray, right? And obviously you can't move forward. The question is, what about the kashrus of the Eidim as far as other Dinei Torah are concerned? Right? Can the either of these kat Eidim testify in another Din Torah? If we knew for a fact that they were liars, they were gazlanim, they were shakranim, right? Then they would be possibly Eidus. But we don't know that. We just know that between the four, or between, to be more accurate, between the two Kitei Eidim, one Kat is telling a lie. And they should be possibly Eidus, but we don't know which one. So the question is, forget about the Din Torah on the case, what about the impact on the Eidim for Eidus going forward? Very fascinating argument. So that is an argument between Rav Huda and Rav Chisda. Right? Shnei Kitei Eidim Akisha Zuhazu. Amravuna, Zuba Bifnei Atzma Umeida, the Zuba Bifnei Atzma Umeida. Rav Huna is of the opinion that when you have this kind of contradiction, each kat stands with cheskas kats. Each of these kite eidim can go forward and testify in another Din Torah without being stigmatized by the role that they played in this particular Din Torah. Very interesting. That's the view of Rav Huna. Zuba b'nei atzma ida, zuba b'nei atzma ida. And Rav Chisda disagrees. Rav Chisda amar, b'adi sadi, shikri, lovely. Between the two, kideidim, we know that one of them is lying, and therefore each kat, right, because of this suffix, or because of this experience, is possible leidus. That's the view of Rav Chisda. So the Gemara says originally, by the way, we pass like Rav Huna, and we'll discuss both shitas in just a sec. The Gemara says, Lema Rav Nachman d'amak Rav Huna, but Rav Karov Chisda. Well, what's the argument that we had before? Let's say you have two Kitei Eidim, and they contradict on one point, and another point, right, there's no contradiction. There's just only one of the Kitei Eidim addresses one part of the issue. Right, so Rava is of the opinion that you should say that that's Hakasha. And Rav Nachman says, no, cancel out the Hakasha part, let's say Gimel Shanim, and you remain with what's left, what's retained, and that is Shelav Osai. But there's no reason, just because of the Stira, just because of the Trey on the Gimel Shanim, that doesn't have to affect the problem of Shelav Osai. That's the argument between Rava and Rav Nachman. So the Gemara says, let's say, Lema, that Rav Nachman d'amaka Rav Huna. Rav Nachman, who says that you, right, can cancel out the Stira and remain with the Eidus, he holds like Rav Huna, who says, just like you can use them for the next Din Torah, you can use them for this Din Torah as well. The Rava Rav Chisda. Rava, who said, right, there's Hakasha here, even though the Hakasha really is limited to the Kasus Gimel Shanim, but he's overlapping it to apply to the question of Avosai. That's because he holds like Rav Chisda. Rav Chisda says these Eidim cannot testify for the next Din Torah either. That's the Gemara's suggestion. So the Gemara says no, not necessarily. I'll leave it to Rav Chisda kulam lo pligi. If you take the view of Chizda, Ba'adi Sadi Shikru Lamali, that when Kite Eidim are so sir each other that they're Psulim Le'edos Mikano Laba, if you take that view of Rav Chizda, so then you will conclude, like Rava here, that even though the Akasha doesn't extend to Shalach Osai, nonetheless they're puzzled the Shalach Osai. Even that's not the Shalom Pasha, but that's what the Gemara says. However, Ki Pligi Aliba de Ravuna, it's possible that both Chitas, Rava and Rav Nachman, will both agree with Ravuna. And when it comes to a regular question of Kashra Sa'edus Mikano Laba for the next Dintara, that we accept Rav Huna, who says Bahadi Sadi Shikra, each, as long as you don't know certainly which kat are the Eidim Psulim, so each kat has a Cheskas Kashras. Everybody will agree with that Tzak of Rav Huna. However, so that's how we go. Leave it to everybody who sold their whole Kipliga, leave it to Rav Huna. Everybody agrees with Rav Huna. Rav Nachman Kirav Huna. Rav Nachman simple. Rav Nachman says, listen, Mikanu Laba, you treat each one with a Cheskas Kashras. So on the issue of Avosai, we also treat it as a Cheskas Kashras. The Rabba, hi, Rabba is now the difficult one. Ad kamei kam Rav Huna elo le'edus acheres. Avala osa edus lo. That's true when you're talking about a new Din Torah. But if you're talking about the same Din Torah, or a connected Din Torah, then even Rav Huna will agree that the impact of Hakasha cannot be cancelled out or simply dismissed. That's the Shaka Vitari of the Gemara. Very fascinating issue. So either the Gemara thinks that this depends on a general question of Trey, Rav Huna, Rav Chizda, does it create Psul Eidos or not? Or the Gemara thinks that the issue really is how connected are these two aspects of the same Eidos. The Bali Tosis, for example, zero in on this problem. Ritva, each in a different way. To what extent are Eidos Gimel Shanim and Eidos Avosai one or two Eidos? So on the surface, again, in terms of the token, they seem to be two different stories. I mean, who previously owned the property and who presently resides in the property are two different issues. Why is that the same Eidos? What makes them the same Eidos is the purpose of each Eidos, namely the struggle for ownership. Ownership, right? There are two relevant issues in ownership. One is previous ownership, the other is present occupation. So in as much as these two factors, right, are all about the same story or the same struggle, namely to establish supremacy over the others in ownership, they're one story. Even though, as you know, subtopics, let's say, they're quite independent of each other.
You know the cut?
Sorry?
They had another cut agent who came under Azarko alone. Well, how was
Well, he wasn't then that other cop wouldn't be mukash.
Right.
There wouldn't be an issue.
So you would have
that would for sure work. Yeah. That would even work for Chizda. Because even for Chizda, it's only so the question is this: to what extent do we? And it could be that's exactly the argument between Rava and Rav Nachman. But either Rav Nachman doesn't care because he says it doesn't matter if it's the same Eidus or a different Eidus, as long as you hold like Rav Huna, the Zuk Nasamida, so we don't really care. But, or the argument really is, to what extent this is considered one or two Eidus. So on that issue, I just mentioned something that we've seen previously, when we talked about the Gemara Daf Chavtes, talks about Marzutra and Rochelin, the whole case that we talked about it previously, I don't want to get back into it in detail. So Ben Etam and Sefer Yashar, which we read at the time, calls Eidus Chazaka Eidus Gerua. And we've mentioned it several times since then. The Eidus of Chazaka is Eidus Gerua. Why is it Eidus Gerua? It's an inferior Eidus. Because normal Eidios, right, establish unequivocally, based on facts, in other words, they resolve the case. Question is, do you owe money? You don't owe money? There are witnesses who say yes, there are witnesses who say no, and so on. Here, when it comes to Eidos Cheskas Gimel Shanim, right, even if the Eidim are telling the truth, right, it doesn't directly or 100% prove that you're the owner. Let's say the Edom come and they say, you've been eating, you've been living in the Karka for 3 years, eating, you know, Maksik Bok and a Mechazki Ba in Chi, behaving like an owner in every way, right? So the Halacha says that if you have somebody with a Taina, and he's living there Gimel Shanim, then he wins the case. Right? And the Edom are an important component. They have to establish the that condition of being there, living there for 3 years. Right? But per se, being there, living there for 3 years doesn't prove a thing. That's why Rabbeinu Tam called it Edus Geruah, inferior Edus. So it could be that it's only in conjunction with the Taina that Cheskes Gimel Shanim is meaningful. As we say, Chazaka She'eini Mataina Lo Shma Chazaka. Rabbeinu Tam is saying even in the case of Chazaka with a Taina, the Edus is always Edus Geruah. It'll work, but it's Geruah because the Chazaka doesn't prove the Taina. It just integrates well with it, and together they win you the case. So it could be that for this reason, yeah. So if this, it could be for this reason, we dafka consider Edus Gimel Shanim and the Edus on the Taina, which in this case is Shalavosai, to be a single continuum, not two separate Edus. Maybe that's what Tosfos has in mind. I'm not sure. I know about the Chazak, the Edus Geruah part of it, so I'm not sure. Tosfos here, when they discuss the following issue. Amalei Rav Rava, and Laman Aleph Amid Aleph. Amalei Rava, Vaha Edus Mukheshes. Everybody have it? The bottom Tosfos. Tema, am I having Edus Mukheshes? Why does Rava think that this is Edus Mukheshes? Now again, now in light of what we know. Why is it Mukheshes? Because the overlap, the fact that it's mukhash on Gimel Shanim, according to Rava, overlaps with the idea of Shalavosan, even though they seem like two different topics. So Tosfos is saying, how can Rava hold that here? For Rava, Islay, Vimaruba, the Tarek of Orer, they zomim bikamel haba, who nifsal, below nifsal elemishad the iskachush, the islamim achilosa, the iskachush iskachush, abasid lo iskachush. Lois Kachosh, Tachi Amar B'Meruba, right? The Rav is of the opinion that a Zomim is possible. This is a Gemara in Sanhedrin above a Kama. A Zomim is possible Mikanul Haba, meaning an a Zomim is possible once we know that he's a Zomim, not from the time, according to Rava, discusses later, not from the time he gave the testimony, but from the time he's been established as an a Zomim. From then on, he's possible the Edoms. And if that's true, that's what Rava says, that's the same Rava. V'lo mitzal l'mishad yizkachosh, therefore we should say, achi lo sa yizkachosh yizkachosh, avosid lo yizkachosh lo yizkachosh. Right? Same idea, you should apply that you find an azama to akasha. T'hochi amar b'ruza, we said in Meruba, huzmu ala tzvicha v'ala gneva, lo huzmu. The Gemara there talks about a case of a person who steals an object, and then he does tvicha. He shechts the object. When he steals it, he's chayiv keren and kefel. When he shechts it, he's chayiv dalad ve'e. Right? So the question is, let's say he did both. Or let's say it was Edus that he did both. And it was huzmu ala tvicha, right? Ve'alek nevelo huzmu. The Edom testified that he stole and that he shechted. And turns out that we can disqualify their testimony about the Shechita part, but we can't disqualify their testimony about the Geneva part. So, but we say they're only possible Mikan Ulhaba going forward in the future. So will we say, this seems like a parallel case to the case here, you have Edus Ala Bosai and Edus Ala Gimel Shanim. Right? Rather than saying that what? Even though they're two different facts, since they're connected in the same case, right, the rule is that we view it as one, we draw a circle around the whole thing, and we view it as a single hakasha. That's Rav. The Tosfos is saying, how come the same thing is not true in Hazama when it comes to Geneva and Tvicha? We say on Tvicha, where you have Hazama, you're puzzle, but on the Edus on Geneva, which was previous to that, your Edus is accepted. Why not say draw a circle around Geneva and Tvicha? It's the same case. Even though, again, the Edus of one and the other was within Tokhidei Dibor, the Rava. still, given the ma'is shayt to become the zami, who to commit soy, atzvichad itzum itzum, al gneva lo itzum lo itzum. Then Tosfos tries to get out of the problem, elishna v'tam and the rav yushamin to amin chidush, and the chabala mishas chidush anicha, elishna the parish tam and the rav yushamin to amin lekuchos, hachinami ne'amninu. He says, listen, it could be, well, what are we doing? We're comparing, this is important for our continued discussion, we're comparing hazama and akhasha. We're saying, according to Rava, hazama is mikan al haba, pasuk mikan al haba, only in the future. Right? And yet, the same thing should apply to akhasha, and yet, when it comes to hazama, we don't find that we draw a circle around the related Adios. We say, you know, if it's only possible mikano l'haba, and it's only possible on half, the second half, so then the first half is left intact. So we say the same thing about our kasha. So it says, oh, maybe you'll tell me that hazama is mikano l'haba, but our kasha is possible l'mafreya, right? In retroactive. Therefore, anything that's mikano l'haba, you only go forward, even if there's a connection. Things that are, in retrospect, right, especially if they're token de divo or they're connected in some way, you'll go backwards as well. So Tosfos says that's fine if you think that the reason that Rava holds that Hazama is possible mikan al haba is because of the special chiddush of Hazama, which we'll talk about. But if you think it's because of what the Gemara there calls pseida de lekucha, saying it's not fair, let's say you have Edim. And they serve as witnesses in cases after their act of hazama, before they're found out. That's not fair. Pseidu lekuchos. Anybody who used them as witnesses in the interim is going to suffer because they didn't know that they were in himself. As far as they knew, they were upstanding people. So the Gemara said that that's one of the reasons why we say Eidzomen is possible only mikan ulahaba shem pseidu de lekuchos, because the loss that would be incurred by the other people who for whom they serve as Edom in between. Well, that applies to Akasha as well as to Hazama, right? Hafila Echad Elekab Seder Lekukas on this one of Freya. Hafila Hilishna Midabai Asam Maika Bin Hai Lishna Lahashin Shivalokam Maika Bin Hayu Echad Elekab Seder Lekukas. Maybe it says, oh, actual Seder Lekukas. It's the principle of Seder Lekukas and so on. Akasha. The Gemara says in the continuation that if you call like Rav Chisda, who says Bahadi Sadi Shikri Lamali, namely that you're always puzzled going forward, even for the next Din Torah, then everybody will agree like Rav. Right? That if there's Akasha on the Gimel Shanim, Akasha spills over and affects the Avosai as well. Masmid or Nachmid or Mati Sabr B'Shumin and Rav Chisda. The Chashu Lusadi Sheikh Shakri, who we know, the summer of Nachman the Mikan, Ulahaba, who Nifsal. Why not say, listen, the din of Rav Chisda just tells us that in the future, because you had this experience and you were involved in this controversy, and one of the two Kitaidin is possible, so now in the future you can't serve as an aid. But how do we know that it works also backwards? You gave testimony, Shalabosa. Then you gave testimony, the Achol Gimel Shanim. Then the other agent come and they say, Achol Gimel Shanim. My guy, Achol Gimel Shanim. So now you have Akasha. Now the Akasha, right, will now be postal you to give any agents Mikan al Haba, according to Rav Chisda. But how do you know that it'll be postal you from the agents that you gave before there was Akasha? Right? That solves this question. Miu ha'i kalamei ma'vishim dolo kaimalan karaba baha. Fine. Benira finally says the sugya d'hocha kai lishon d'chidush alishon d'pseidu l'kucho savard l'amaler of l'avnachem b'olam hachi. You're right, this is a stira, and it doesn't make any sense unless you take the view in Bava Kama and in Sanhedrin of Ein Zomim is a chidush, and it doesn't apply to Akasha, because really these two ideas, what we find in Gneva and Tzvicha, that we treat them as two separate avios, and the Hazama on one doesn't affect the Hazama on the other, would contradict what we're finding here, according to Rava, that when it comes to Akasha, one Akasha does affect the other. That really is an implacable contradiction that cannot be resolved. And therefore, the only conclusion to reach is that when it comes to the difference between Hazama and Akasha, or that these are sugyas that argue with each other. That's what I was saying so far. Well, the Rivon, the Rivon is something else. The Lo Dami Hachta Hacha Mahidim Meruba. There's another answer. There's a way out of this problem. What's the answer? Hasam Gnevo Tzicha Trei Nili Ninu. Elahacha Gnevo Tzicha Lo Itzam Kivin Lahabo Nitzam. Elahacha Ki Iskakosh Achila Iskakosh Nami Avase Ta Avase Velo Achila Lo Mahani Ta Ava Mukmina Biyade Nisle Sadi Dachla Shnei Chazaka Ta Nehmer Lama Hatsa Shal Avis Shal Avosa Yomecha Ta Bigudi Bayomar Minak Zinta Mi Wakatin Akati the Choshev Lo Gamar Kedah Sacher Es Lo Asi Shapir. So the second day of Tosfos basically says the difference between these two cases is not Azaman Akasha. It's not the difference between it's not an argument, you know, on the major point. The difference is in the cases. There, where we treat them separately and we don't have an overlap of Hazama, we're dealing with Gneva and Tzika. Here we're dealing with Shalavosai and Gimel Shanim. Shalavosai and Gimel Shanim, says Tosis, is a more dependent and therefore a more integrated. We see this as two facets of the same din Torah. There, it's possible to have Geneva without having Tzicha. Here, you can't have Shalavosai, right, without... Or you can, and you also can't have Shalavosai to win unless you have Gimel Shani, because then the other guy has a Migu. You can say Migu di Bayamar Shalavosai, right, Velakachtia, or Migu Bayamar Shaliu Velakachtia. Lakachti Mimcha, that's the major point, that's what Tosfos says. So the point is, what we said before is connected to this, which is whether it's because of Eidus Grua, or maybe you don't have to go that far. The point is that Rava's idea here is the idea that these two Eduyos are different in content, but they're united as part of a strategy of winning the Karka. And that's different than Gneva and Tzvicha, even though that multiplies your Chiyuv from a Kefal to Dalet Vehei, but it really is two separate Heftzas shall aid. Okay, we'll get back to that point later on. A little more, the Ritva has a discussion here also. He says, oh, maybe the argument between Rav and Rav Nachman is the question whether you say Batla Miktasa Batla Kula, or you say Palgina. It's an issue that we find in many places. I think we've talked about it in the past. Namely, we find two opposite or seemingly opposite concepts out there. One is the idea of palgina dibure or palgina namanus, which means that we are very strict in limiting the impact of disqualified edus. What's disqualified is disqualified, and what's unaffected, or what's not disqualified is unaffected. I'll say it that way. Palgina dibure. Just like we find a ploni rabba as ishti. So neman al ploni is not neman al ishto. Palginan dibure. That's the Gemara in Sanhedrin. That's the concept of palginan dibure. So here we say palginan dibure means where there's akasha, there's akasha. Where there's not, there's not. And sometimes we say the principle of batla miktasa batla kulam. You have a unifying factor to integrate two adios, or whether it's kiteidim. The principle is batla miktasa, batla kula. So some Rishonim will say, the issue here is it batla miktasa, batla kula, or is it palgina? Anyways, this is something to consider. We'll get back to it later on. So there may be an issue of the relationship between Taina and Gimel Shanim, or this might be a more universal question about what happens when you have two adios that are part of a single story or a single dintara regarding the relationship between Palginan and Batla Miktasa Batla Kula, or I said the goof of the argument is to what extent is this one or two adios? These are different views of the Ritva and this process here, etc. Okay. Let's talk instead at the moment, let's turn our attention to Rav Huna and Rav Chis. So this argument between Rav Huna and Rav Chisda is really fascinating. And maybe in light of that we'll have another way to explain Rava's view that Ba'osa Eidus, you know, we overlap, you know, the Hakashos, even according to Rav Huna. We'll see. The argument of Rav Chisda on the surface is an argument, they say, about the kashrus of the Edim going forward. And we need to understand their discussion. Number one, what is the relationship? We're not going to be able to examine this so fully tonight, but what is the relationship between the two issues of Akasha? Right. One, the impact on the Edim as Edim Ksherim or Psulim in this case or going forward. That's one topic. Right, the Edim issue. Two, the impact on the Edus in the actual Din Torah. Right. Now, there's a parallel question to raise structurally by the Hazama. Right, you have a case of Hazama. Hazama is Edim testify, and then other Edim come along and they say, Immanuel Yisem, you couldn't possibly be testifying truthfully because Immanuel Yisem also Ayom, right, Bo Sasha, right? You couldn't possibly be, and we were with you in this other venue. And if that's established to be the case, or we believe the Edim film in, so the rule is, so again, there are two issues there, just as there are here. One is, what impact does Hazama have on the Edim? Who do you believe? What about Psul? In the case of Zomim, what about Onesh? And there's another question. What impact does Hazama have on the case? Right? Hazama has the impact of, we believe, the Edim Zomim, the Mazimim. Right, the first tat are completely thrown out. Hakasha with a tray or tray. Right, we don't throw them out completely. So these are two issues, both in Hazama and in Hakasha. Question is the interrelationship of these two issues in Hazama exactly the same as the interrelationship of the two issues in Hakasha? And the answer may very well be no, based on an understanding of each of these different institutions. Akash and Hazama are good things to compare to each other, and you might conclude that they're more of a contrast than they are a comparison. Yeah?
I mean, on its face, the Torah treats them very differently.
Right. It's a similar problem. In both cases, you're trying to figure out Edom who had a cheskos kashrus but are now being challenged. Certainly, they treat differently in terms of Onesh, in terms of, you know, of being, you know, a deadlock as opposed to believing one or the other. Psulim going forward a little bit. Question is, are the issues parallel though? Okay. Even if they're not as severe, are they parallel? So before we even get to that point, let me just talk about Tosus for just a minute. So Tosus asks the question, how come every Hakasha you don't believe the second Kad of Edim? Just like you do in Hazama. After all, Migu Di'ibai Amru, either Imanu Ayisem, could have said your Edom Zomim, or Migu Di'ibai Amri, how can these guys testify? They're guys Lanim. They're apostolazes. If Edom came to court and they said, right, either Imanu Ayisem, or guys Lanim, would we believe them? Sure. So why not apply Migu and believe the second Kat in every Akasha over the first? And you no longer have an institution called Akasha.
Well, the first Kat is the second.
What do you mean they couldn't say that?
They
came first.
No, they testified on something, but they haven't testified on. They testified on the facts of the case. They haven't testified about the second Kat of Aiden, or the first Kat of Aiden.
Right, but they're already being established as they're already Psula. Too late for them.
They
come to court.
Right.
When they come to court, there are no other aid.
Correct.
Now two other aidens show up and say, "You're Gazlanim, you're
Pasul." They don't have a chance.
So where they can say, "No, you're Gazlanim."
Yes. They don't have a chance to. I presume they have a chance to deny or question the.
They don't. Let's say two aidens come to court and they say, "You owe $1,000." So you can turn around and say, you owe $1,000?
Not if you're a Baldover.
What do you mean if you're a Baldover?
They're telling me.
Okay, so these people are Bali Dvarim. We're saying that they are Gavamim. Or that they're Zomim. Every other, in any case of Eid Zomim.
There's no Shaklat, there's no defense.
If you can prove that you're not a Goslin, but all things being equal, it's not a crush up, put it that way. There are two Eidim against you. You have two Eidim against you in a court of law. If you can bring two other Eidim to clear your name, but not you can't clear your name on your own, you become the Nidonim. That's the Ramban's famous interpretation in Shoftim of Azama. Right, the Ramban says, don't think that Azama is completely inexplicable. Right? You should know that in Azama, the Edim or Rishonim become the defendants. And you never believe the defendants. There can be 1,000 defendants and 2 Edim, and you'll always believe the Edim. If 2 Edim come to court and they say, this is the famous Ramban, Haraktem es hanefesh, hilaltem es hashabas. And 1,000 of them. And they're all saying, not true, it's a lie. Right, so we say it's Trey or Trey Kamei or Trey Kalef, or we don't say that. We say they're Nidonim in the case. So Ramban says, and this is the Kiddush, and everybody agrees. Ramban says, when the Edim Zomim say, Manu Ayisa, Mosa Makum, it's like the thing, Kilatam Sashavas, Rakam Sanefesh. You're Nidonim. Everybody agrees. And certainly if I come to court and I say, Gazlanim Atem, you're established Gazlanim in a different bezin. You have no right to testify. So they're going to say not true, and that's not Trey or Trey. If you want to say not true, you have to prove it's not true. Now again, you might want to do good Rishon HaKira on the guys who are making that something else. But so this is Tosa's famous question, Oliver Shas. Tosa's here, Tosa's Baba Kama, Tosa's in Ksuvas, Tema. And it tells them about a comma, they ask the question, or Ibayamri, Edim Zomim Atem. So you should always believe, why do we have this din that Trey Kita Edim, Mamachisha Zu and Zu is a deadlock? You should always believe the second cut. That tells this question. Obviously, there has to be an answer to this question, but let's find the answer to the question. So Tosfos gives three answers. Here, one second. Umiu, the Migu Diboy Abed Zambalu, Lekalemim Ninu, the Reima Zimun Penyuzomu Gamhei. Tosfos thinks they have the answer to the Hazama question. Because the Ramban here asks the Hazama question. Tosfos and Baba Kama asks the Hazama question. But Tosfos here says the Hazama question doesn't bother me as much. Because when you say about people, when you say about other people that you were with them, so then you open, and you're lying, so then you open yourself up to being Nizom yourself. But if I just come to court and I say, Gazlan about them, you have no right to testify. So there's no chashash of Hazama in the same way, at least not in terms of Osamakom, etc. And therefore the question is, why don't you believe them? So Tosfos venerally, actually just before I even get to that, the Rav used to say about this question, he thought the question was not a question, according to some Rishonim, for the following reason. This question assumes that Migu applies outside of Bali Dvarim. But the question here is, why doesn't the Kat Shnia have a Migu to be believed over the Kat Rishona? Right? Who says Migu ever applies to anybody but a Baldavar? But that's not such a Zohar Pasha, but that's the Rav like to say that. What is that based on? So we've been talking about the nature of Migu. If Migu is Birur, meaning Migu is an indication whether you're an honest man or not, right, do you have credibility? So in theory, there should be no difference between a Baldavar and an Aden, or anybody else, or a Shalish. Namely, the question is, do we believe you or not? Do you have a better, easier lie to accomplish your goal, whatever that goal may be, and you bypass that instead of an inferior taina, so that builds credibility. Does it matter, is there a particular yichus, the credibility of a Baldava, the credibility of Aden, the credibility of a third party, of a Shalish, of a Nifkad? It should make a difference. It's all about establishing a stronger basis upon which to believe. On the other hand, if the principle of Migu is connected to Skusataina, as we've been discussing, which means you can win this case. Since you can win this case, we consider it to be yours to lose now. Meaning, basically, you're in the stronger position. You have a kind of muksakus in this case. So that makes sense if you're talking about a baldavar, who's winning a case. Right? The Edim, it's not a case. There's no muksakus for Edim. Right? The whole idea of Ksus HaTaina or Taina has nothing to do with Edim. Edim give testimony. They don't have a Taina. Migu helps you with a Taina. It's about the balance of power. When they're Edim, even if they're vying for the truth, there's no issue of balance of power. There's no power. They're third parties. They're supposed to be detached, objective observers. They have no interest in the case. So I think it's a very fascinating suggestion. Obviously, the Bali Tosis and Shonim who ask this question and give different answers don't accept that answer. But nonetheless, it's an important idea. The Mordechai, actually, in the Gemara that we talked about earlier, Laman Aleph, Laman Aleph, in a different case, does raise this question, we don't explain why, whether Migu applies for a Shalish. That's why I kept referring to a third party. Somebody who's holding an object on behalf of both parties. Does a Shalish have a Migu, or only a Baldavar has a Migu? So he gets close to this question. Either way, that's not the answer that Bali Tosis gives. Bali Tosis gives three answers. Venerally, the Migu b'makom edim lo amina. There's some question whether it's three answers or two answers, and in the different places, whether you have this next word, the ode, the migu la yucha l'sayam yoser mishnei edim, afilu hayoimoyim kuf edim, einaman in the trei kemea. The ode of Marie, the l'shayik migu de'in da shneim shaveh, umashi yirtzazem lipem lo yitonze. Let's start with the third, because that's the easiest. It's also the least significant, just the most pragmatic. Right, and Bali Tosis say this in many, many places in Shas. And that is, you never say migu across two people, because the pressure to get your story straight, right, is a huge negative. For a single individual to apply migu is one thing, but for two people, right, to say a migu means that they have to coincide their stories. And, you know, you never know if one of them isn't going to be the weak link and, you know, isn't going to give it away. So you've got to think twice. It's better to say the truth. It's always better to say the truth, obviously. You know, from an idealistic point of view. What Tosis is saying is, even from a pragmatic point of view, let's say you have no scruples, the truth is still a better taina than a lie when more than one person is involved, because it's just too difficult to keep things, you know, to keep your stories straight. That's true. I think the best, you know, a method part of interrogation, right, is separating the defendants. Right, I'm not a lawyer, and I'm not, I don't work for either the CIA or the FBI, or at least if I do, I'm not admitting it. But the point, I think that's a known, if you read a couple of spy novels or something, like the best thing, the most important thing is you get them set, because the nuances of the story are the weak link in that kind of fabrication. That's what I say. Keep your lie simple. Simplify your lie. Right. So migu is migu across two people is too complicated. That's what Tosis basically says. But in Akanami, otherwise, in theory. Migu would apply to Edim, and it would work to eliminate caution, but it doesn't because of this principle. It's a pragmatic psychological principle. What about the other two deas of Tosis, if they are indeed two deas? So the first one is directly connected to the topic that we discussed last week and the week before, which is the principle of Migu b'makom Edim. But the classic case of Migu b'makom Edim is you have a Migu and it's contradicted by Edim, right? So we saw, maybe there's a machlokas in the Gemara, we're not sure. Certainly we paskin that migu b'makom edim lo amrina. That's for sure. And what about b'makom anansadi? And what about b'makom chazaka? That's a Gemara in Haman Beis. And what about b'makom hodas baldin? And what about b'makom shtika kahoda? These are some of the issues that we talked about, among other things, last week. And what about a pesha asar keneged edim? Fine. But that whole discussion is in a situation where you have migu on one side and unequivocal, unopposed, in the Avis world, an opposed Edom on the other side. What happens in a situation where you have Migu, which is against Edom, but the Edom, which are against the Migu, are also against other Edom? It's Trey or Trey. It's not obvious at all that the Mokom Trey or Trey, you would still call that Migu Neged Edom. Right? From several points of view. Number one, you might say that when you have Edom Keneged Edom, that they can't, that they just, you know, neutralize each other. Right? So you don't have Migu Keneged Edom at all. You have Edom and Edom, that's Trey or Trey, and now you have Migu. Except if that were the case, that's what we normally call in the world of halacha, Trey or Trey Keman Delesa. That's so clear that that's true. We'll talk about that more in a minute. Do two Edom really cancel each other out? As if they never were there. Or do we say Trey or Trey Keman Deisa? They're there, they're deadlocked, but they're there. If you say Trey or Trey Keman Delesa, then you're not going to say it's Migu Geneged Edom. However, you still might not be able to work because maybe Migu might not, it depends. If Migu's enough in the case, you'll work. If Migu's not enough, then it won't work. But not because of Migu Geneged Edom. Because Migu, it's a Migu can't be Motzi, and so on. Right? But the, if you call it Migu Neged Edom, which is what Tosus does, they're essentially making two assumptions. One is that Trey Trey is not Kalesa, but Ki'isa. And even if it is Ki'isa, that the principle of Migu, Neged Edom, applies even when the Edom themselves are compromised. They may be Ki'isa, but no one will deny that you can't compare Trey Edom, right, when there's no one opposing them, to Trey Edom when other Edom oppose them, even if they're still standing. So the huge Kiddush, according to this view in Tosus, would be that the principle of Migu, Keneged Edom, applies even in compromised Edom, even Edom of caution. That's a very big kiddush. Right. If you have the Girsa of the Od, that's what Tosa is saying in its first day. What's Tosa's second day? Also very interesting, but a different kiddush. Tosa says, one more time, the second day, the Migal Yuchal Asayim Yosem Yishne Edom. Vapulu Yuhayu Imaim Kuf Edom Einamanim. The Trey Kaneya. The rule is Trey Kaneya. When it comes to Edom, right, anything beyond two doesn't make a difference. So if you have 1,000 Edom, 1,000,000 Edom against two, right, you still have a deadlock. It's still Trey or Trey. So let's say you don't have 1,000. Let's say you have two Edom against two Edom. Let's say you have two Edom and Migu against two Edom. Right? Now what's stronger, Migu or Edom? Edom. So having two plus Migu, says Tosus, cannot be better than having 2 plus 100 Edom, or 2 Edom, for that matter. But that doesn't help you because Trey Kaneya. So Trey plus Migu, right, cannot be better than Trey plus Trey, because Trey is Kaneya. Therefore, Migu doesn't help you in Edom. That's the perspective of the second day of Tosfos. And that's the perspective of the Ramban. The Ramban, actually, if you have the sheets that we gave out last week, the Ramban is very similar to the Ramban that we had on Lamed Aleph Amud Aleph. You recall the Ramban on Lamed Aleph Amud Aleph had the perspective of, you can't have anybody out there who holds that Migu can compete with Edom. Because the Torah means also. Torah believes Edom. It's a gold standard. Migu is nothing compared to it. So too, this is the language of the man here. Zemer Shalavosa, Zemer Shalavosa, the first piece. Hai Zesad Navosa, Yesh Makshima, Ayla Menil, Vasroi, Migu de Motzi Pasul, Kamad de Gazalu, So, the Mizavi Lehu. Same question as Tosfos. But here with the Mizavi, his own Mimbartik. Balav Kushi, She'ein Omer Migu Be'edim, La'aminan, Yosem Meima, She'aminan Torah, Mishu Migu. Migu cannot add, Tosfos' idea is, and the Ramban's idea is, this Ramban says it more forcefully in a way, you can never do better than two Edom. That's why Trey is Kaneya. And we could have said Trey is Kaneya for a different reason. That Ramban obviously doesn't hold us. Right? Could have said that Trey is Kaneya because when it comes to Edom, it's not two Edom, it's a Kat. When it comes to Kat, the amount, anything beyond two, is irrelevant. So So it's kat against kat. But if you have kat, that doesn't mean that you can't add to the nemanos of edim. So maybe migul actually would work. Ramban says, no, that's not the pshat. The reason that trey is kameya is not because it's kat against kat. It's because you can never do better than two edim. Two edim is such a formidable, two edim is fact. So you have fact against fact. Right? You have a steer on the facts. But then, if that's true, then migul is never going to help you either. That's the line. Shemina Torah Mishu Migu. Yosu Mashu Mishu Mishu Migu. Below Nomar Migu Be'edim. You might think, oh, maybe you can add Migu to Edim. I don't know if we'll get a chance to speak about this. Fascinating idea. There are only two exceptions. The rule of Kivin Shehigin Shivin Chozer Magid. So if you have a Migu, we believe you to explain, to clarify something that you meant. The Ramban says, or Nogeya B'davar. Let's say you're Nogeya B'davar, but Migu, you could get the same, you could accomplish the same goal as your Negius in another way. So that helps. The Pashtos, it doesn't help because then Migu is strong, Migu and Edim is stronger than Edim. It's that the Migu eliminates the Negius. But you're Nogeya because you benefit here, but that benefit can be accomplished in a different manner. So Kolman Sheish Migu is only Kolman, and then you win, not because of Eidus plus Migu, but because of the Eidus, because it helps all. But, says Ramban, wherever Eidim are inadequate, let's say because they're opposed by, the only way they'd be inadequate, because they're opposed by other Eidim, then Migu's not going to help you, because that's the gold standard. You can never do better than that. That's Ramban's principle. What about the third day of Tosas or first day of Tosas? Obviously they think differently. Obviously they think that, you know, while the highest standard is Eidus, say one of two things. While the highest standard is Eidus, doesn't mean you can't go higher. You can't go higher with an Eidus. There's no difference in Eidus between 2 and 1,000 or 1,000,000. But some other factor which is compelling in its own right, even though it's inferior to Eidus, but the addition of some other factor to Eidus helps. Hey, that's number one. Moreover, is it possible to suggest the following? The idea that 2 is the gold standard, and that it's equivalent to a fact, and you can never do better, right, that's certainly true when you have 2 Eidus. But when you have Trey already, doesn't that compromise somewhat the gold standard? In a sense, this is how we tried to explain last week and the week before. If there is a view of Rav Chisda and Rabba that Migu can create Trey or Trey with Eidim, so we said, oh, how come? I mean, it doesn't make sense. Emina Torah. The answer is, Emina Torah, all things being equal. Right? But where you have another strong piece of evidence pointing to something perhaps fishy going on, so then Eidus isn't fact anymore. Then we reassess Eidus as probability. Right? We start to say, oh, well, you know, in 3% of the cases, people really do lie. There's that caution, there's that zombie. Here too, we might say, when there's Trey or Trey, then Migu can be effective. The truth is, this whole question, let's go back and talk about it from a different perspective for a minute. Well, let me ask this question. This question of Migu B'makom Trey Trey. The case here is a case where the Edim, right, have a Migu, and we want to know if they can therefore win over another set of Edim. What if the case were a little different? Let's say it was Trey Trey, and the Baldavar had a Migu. Not one of the Edim. Not one of the Kitei. Would that make a difference? Some Achorim raise this question. Could be that as far as this whole discussion, let's say, either, you know, the question of Migu Kenegadim, first day of Tosfos, so the second day of Tosfos, Trey Kenea, maybe that's true within the struggle of the Edom themselves. What about the Baal Dabar? It particularly might be an issue, if we go back to the issue, of whether or not Trey Trey is Ki'isa or Kalesa. But this question of Trey Trey Ki'isa Kalesa really needs to be understood against the background of another argument. Might be the same argument, might not. The Gemara Yevamot stuff, Lamed Aleph. Lamed Aleph records a debate whether Trey Trey is Sveika Daraisa or Sveika Drabana. We have Trey Trey, do we view that as a Sveika Daraisa or Sveika Drabana? Lamai Nafkamina, the Gemara that talks about, Mukmina Nachazaka. If you have Trey Trey, do we say, if you hold Trey Trey, Sveika Daraisa, that means it's an insoluble dilemma. And you cannot invoke Mukazakos, right, to be Machria Benayim. If you hold Trey Trey, Steka, Dirabanan, so Minatora at least, Mukmina Chaskasa. So maybe only Dirabanan, we don't say Mukmina Chaskasa. That's the Gemara, that's the argument of the Gemara Yavama staff, Lamed Aleph Amad Aleph. Most are shown in Paskin, Trey Trey, Steka, Dirabanan. The Rambam seems to have a steer in his Psakim, that's not for now. The Rambam in one place seems to say also Trey Trey, Steka, Daraisa. The large majority of Rishonim, Paskin, that Trey Trey is Steka, Sveika Drabana. So there are some Rishonim who think, Rabbi Yonah says it's in Ksubas, among others, not so many others, but a few others, that the argument of Trey Trey, Sveika Daraisa, Trey Trey, Sveika Drabana, is good for the question whether Trey Trey is Ki'isa or Kalaisa. Right? Do you neutralize the Edim and then you're back to square one, but you're not worse off than square one? That's Kalaisa. Or Ki'isa. But if you all trade Trey Sveika Drabana, they say, that's Kalesa. Never you say Mukamina Minaraisa, you say Mukamina Nakaskasa. There's a Chazaka here. So pretend there never were Edom at all. Can't throw in all the Edom. Forget about the Edom. Trey Sveika Drabana says, the Edom are there. They might be deadlocked, but they're there. And the Mukam Edom, right, Mukzakus, is not going to work. If that's really the argument, that if you hold Trey Trey Sveika Drabana, and you really hold that means that the Edom are Kilesa, so then it's not just Mukmina Nachaskasa. It would be anything else. Migu, Rov, right? Anything that was not included in the Trey Trey would be a method to accomplish the goal, whether it's Rov, whether it's Chazaka, whether it's Migu. The Gemara later on, the Lamed Beis Lamed Aleph has a discussion of Kol. Some Rishonim think that might be the similar problem. They want to know, why come you don't say Trey Trey, Mukmina na Kol, in the case of a Kohen. Like whether the coin is kosher or coin is possible. Yeah. Two Edom say the coin is kosher, two Edom say the coin is possible, but there's a Kol that is possible. Right. They want to know, if you hold Trey Trey, Sveika Drabanan, why don't you say Bazlino Basar Kol? It just shouldn't make a difference if you hold that way. Other Rishonim clearly do not hold that way, and they say no. Whether you hold Trey Trey Sveika Daraisa or Trey Trey Sveika Drabanan, in either case, the rule is that the Trey Trey's come on the Issa. The fact that they're Edim, right, in a certain direction is significant even in light of their absolute contradiction. The question is, if the Edim are still there, right, does that mean that you can not that you're stuck, you're paralyzed, you're stymied, because whatever you do, you have two Edom against you, or two Edom for you, depending on your point of view. That's the view of Trey Trey Sveika Daraisa, which says not only are the Edom there, but that makes it an intrinsic suffix, which is not nitan lepitaron. Or, even if they're there, right, that doesn't mean that there isn't some lesser form. It sounds strange, but not completely ridiculous either. In other words, you can't solve the problem. The Gedolim are, you know, at loggerheads. I've talked about this in the past. So now the question is, can you invoke somebody or something of lesser authority? And here, some of the Achronim suggest that Dafka, you would want to invoke something that is as different as possible as Edom. Now, here you might be mechalek between different types of things. What do I mean? What I mean is as follows. Is there a difference between trey b'makom, let's say, mukzakus? Let's see what I mean in a second. Or trey b'makom rove. So the Kineger, Shmaitza, a whole group of Achronim, are of the opinion that we should distinguish between those two things. They say the only time the Mandamar says trey tzedekah d'rabbanan will say that mukvina nechetz kaso is something like mukzakus. Because mukzakus is not a birur. It's not just that it's a fallible birur. It's not a birur. It's not even what we call a hachra, you know, where you're not reconstructing the particular case, but you're going, let's say, in a larger way, the likely scenario across more cases. It's not even that. Mukzakus just means in the absence of evidence, right, the burden of proof is to change the status quo. Right, so status quo is not a birur, it's not a hakra, it's just that, it's status quo. So there we might say, well, trey may be command isa, but nonetheless, mukminach has kaso is so different than what Edom is about, right, that the presence of Edom on all sides doesn't affect the application of mukzakus. But, for example, if you were talking about, let's say, rov, which is a form of birur, it's a lesser birur than Edom. So that's like saying, you know, you have the gedolim and their loggerheads, and you're going to decide the machriya b'neim is going to be somebody, let's say, who, you know, is of inferior stature. Right? You wouldn't want to decide a case based on something that's inferior when there's a deadlock between the superior forces, as long as the inferior and superior forces are in the same realm, right, the same basic type. It's both of our efforts to clarify what took place. The question is where to draw the line. Is it mukmina nachas paso against birurim, or is it even what I called a few moments ago hakraos versus birurim? Or sometimes we have a method of breaking a halachic deadlock or of resolving a safek that isn't a birur, but it's a hakra. Right? Sometimes we say, we don't know what happened in this case, okay, but the nihug, we're going to act as if, right, the following took place. Because usually that's what happens. It's not strong enough to make us really believe with confidence that in this case it happened. We're not reconstructing and clarifying what likely took place here, but we're making an arbitrary decision, no, but maybe not completely arbitrarily, based on the mathematics of the, you know, the universal mathematical truth rather than the specific case. That's called a hakra. Right? Nafkamina is, do you have to be consistent in applying hakros the same way that you do in a row? Right? The closest here, actually, on Lamed Beis Amud Aleph, I'm not going to have time to develop this right now, but discusses the famous Rashi in Kiddushin of Samach Vav of Yanei HaMelech. And the Gemara there has the story of Yanei HaMelech, and you know, Yanei HaMelech, the question was whether or not he was acting as a Kohen. The Chacham said that he had no right to be because his mother was a captive, and therefore he wasn't the real Kohen Kosher. So the question is, there was Trey in that case. And the Gemara seems to say that we don't accept Yanai as a Kohen. The Shonamal asks, but if you hold Trey, Seked Rabbanan, so then we should say about Yanai's mother, Mukminan, Achetz Kasa, she had a Achetz Kasha, so we're not sure whether something happened to disqualify her from Kuhuna. There's Trey. So Trey, Seked Rabbanan, Mukminan, Achetz Kasa, and Yanai's mother is Kshera. Yana's mother is Kshera, and Yana is Kasher. So Rashi in Kiddushin, and Tosus quotes it here, here on this Tosus, bottom Tosus of Lav and Beis Amud Aleph, Rashi says, Yanai's mother died. And the Torah here isn't about Yanai's mother, it's about Yanai. Therefore, his mother's chazakah doesn't help him. If you look here, it tells us very quickly, you'll see, Yanai maskinama. It also says, it's about the continuation of the Gemara, you'll see very quickly. The uki trade of Adi trade, the uki gabrech has kosai. Right? The muksakon of his kohen. In this case of the kohen that I mentioned before, right, that tray, two people say the coin is kosher, two people say the coin is pasul, and we say mukmina nachas kosher. Okay. The tema, the mina b'tarik omer b'kiddushin, gav b'yani ha-melech, v'yukar shanav ala nimtza, hechadam ilay, mida tray omri ishtabai, tray omri lo ishtabai, two say she's a captive, two say not, tray nina, my chaz san kosahani, smokahani, v'maylo nimtza, hashta maika parech, adarabha, islam l'meymar, uki tray mahadi tray, v'uki gavra achazake, v'uki yana, yachas kaz imo, the low is Shabbai. Right? Upirish also bekundris, Rashi explained, the cheskos ha'em lo mahani lachshir is Yanai. She'en edem by mitzos ha'em lekuna el ha'id al Yanai. There actually he adds that she already died. It might be important as well. Deinir al-Ri. The lama lo yoyil cheskos ha'em le'ben hold ene yachal yoshutei ha'em k'sheira lo yah ben kasha. Right? Pilsen says, who cares? The mother's alive, the mother's dead, the Torah is about the son, the Torah is about the mother. The issue, the substantive issue is, what happened to the mother? Was she a captive and was she abused as a captive, which makes her disqualified the kahuna, which makes him disqualified the kahuna? The substantive issue is what happened to Yanai. If we could ask one question, right? Only one question. The relevant question would be, what took place with Yanai's mother? So why do we care that we're in the Torah about Yanai, not about his mother? Right? It's a very reasonable question. Tell us to ask us all over Shas. In Tzuvis, tell us in Kiddushin, tell us in Basra. Wherever this issue comes up a few times. Tell us in Yavamos. What's the answer? According to Rashi, the issue of Mukmina Nachas Kasa is not a Birur. Right? It's a Hakra of some sort. And Hakros do not have to be applied consistently. If the Din Torah is about Yanai's mother, she has a chazaka. If the Din Torah is about Yanai, so he doesn't have a chazaka. The Bali Tosas think that this particular chazaka, or chazakos in general, has to be applied consistently. It's a big issue all throughout Shas in various places. There are also chilukim today, that's not our topic right now. I don't think we're going to get to Lamed Bey of this Tosas again, but it's a very, very interesting, very complicated topic. Part I'm trying to make is, beginning back to our Tosas, so Tosas talks about this question, you know, what happens if you have Trey and a Migu? Now, as I was raising the question, let's say the Migu was the Baldavar's Migu, not the Aden's Migu. Would it matter? Same quite a question, in other words, when you have Trey, what about Muxophilus? What about Hafra? What about a Rover to the Biror? What about a miku? What about a kol? Kol is an issue here in Lamed Beis Lamed Aleph. And can you be mechalek between these various issues and what? So if you say trey kimanda lesa, then in all cases you should say that we treat the din Torah as if there never were edim, and whatever works, and whatever doesn't. Got the migu. Then you ask, does the migu work in this case? Does the chazaka work in this case? Does the rope work in this case? Does the kol work in this case? You just go back to square one. If you start distinguishing, clearly you hold Trey's command, the Isa. What's the next question? The question is, are you going to say, as long as there's Trey is Kanea, so no other factor matters because the, you know, as say the giants are paralyzed, nothing else can be Makriya? Or no? There are different systems of evidence. If the highest form of evidence is paralyzed, so then you have two options. Either you go to the next form, or Dafka, this is what I'm saying about Arif Eger, Shashmites, and the others, Dafka you go in the other direction. Because a lesser form of Eidus, when you say Trey Kamei anyway, is not going to help you. But what might help you is something which is as far as distant as possible from Eitzes. Maybe a different system of Hakra, Mukzakus, maybe Hakra versus Birur. So then you get the irony that Dafka, the lesser ones, because they're operating in a different system, are the ones that are going to be consequential in the context of such a deadlock. And that's the view of many Hakra. Okay, without going into more details, so that's that. Now, our time's almost up. Let me just raise a question before we meet for next time. Next, I want to talk about more Rav Huna and Rav Chisda themselves. What is this argument of Rav Huna and Rav Chisda? Who's right? Who's wrong? Well, we possibly like Rav Huna, but you know, how do we understand what's going on? The primary question I want to ask is, let's start with Rav Chisda for a moment. Rav Chisda says the Hadin Sadi Shikri Lama. Rav Chisda says if you have two Edim Akishim Zazah, when you focus on the Edim are possible for the future. Rav Huna says, Zubar Fnatsu Mida, Zubar Fnatsu Mida. On the surface, we're passing like Rav Huna, so it's easy to say this. Rav Huna's argument is compelling. There's something called Cheskas Kashrus, and we don't know for sure that these Edim, right, are in violation. We should accept them. Of course. Edim Doma, Cheskas Kashrus, the two people who walk in the street, in from the street, we don't know anything about them one way or another, or they have some suspicions, but not significant enough. So we give them the benefit of the doubt. Or Edim were involved in a case in which is a 50% chance based on the Edus of another Kat that say that they're Shakron. There's no question that that can affect Cheskas Kashrus. And that's exactly what Rav Chisda is saying. So it's not foolproof argument. But having said that, why don't we apply the principle of Cheskas Kashrus? So I think the point is as follows. In Rav Chisda there are two options. One is, Rav Chisda will tell you, in Ochanami, the reason, in Ochanami, the psul of Akasha is a psul safek. Because the 50% chance that they're shakronim, so that affects the vadai cheskas kashrus, put it that way. Since it affects the vadai cheskas kashrus, so they're psul and misafek. And that's one view of the Rishonim. Clearly, the Rishonim would say, Rav Chisda didn't safek. We'll see next week. Tosafot in Bava Kamma, for example, says even Rav Chisda, who says Bahad Sadi Shikri Lamali, will tell you that that's only to be Motzi Mamo Naidei Zaydim. But to be Machzik Mamo Naidei Zaydim, since they're only Psul and Misafek, right? You can use them for it to be Machzik. That's a big Kiddush, but that's what Tosafot says in Bava Kamma. It is the fact that you can use a Machzik is a bit of a Kiddush. The idea that the psul of Rav Chisda is only a psul misafek is very reasonable and very logical. Rishonim asked the question, according to Rav Chisda, how do we understand the din of Azama? What do I mean by that? The Gemara says in Bava Kamma, right, that Rava, again, the Smachokas are referred to in Tosafot before, right, ain't so name mikanu labo nifso or lamafreyahu nifso. Meaning the Eitzomim is possible in the future or from the time that he testified. Because it turns out that he was a liar. That's Mafra. We passed in the Mafra. But Rava said, that's one of the Yal Kagams, Rava says, Mikanu Lahabah. Why? So the Gemara says, that's two days. One is Tzedu Lukukos, the Zindrabana. And the other is, Eitzomim Zomim from the Kedushu, right? The Eitzomim Chabo, Ela Mishas Kedusha. What's the Chiddush of Edom Zomim? Why is it such a Chiddush? My Echaz is the Samchus Ahai. Smoke Ahai. Why do you believe the second Kat? Believe the first Kat. So Tosfos asks the question here on Lamed Aleph Omid Beis. Tiva Rabba, Barabba Kerot Chizna? In Tomar, in Kena, my Echaz of Rabba Bimaruba, what's this question? The Gemara there in Bava Kamma makes it seem that the Chiddush Hazama is that we believe the second Kat. But according to Rav Chisda, in Eidus HaKasha, we don't believe either Kat. So the Chiddush is not that we don't believe That cut, it's that we believe.
The second cut.
The second cut.
Do we always do that, though?
Yep. Yeah. We always do what?
Do we believe the second cut without
a
Chakira
and Drisha? No, there can be a Drisha and a Chakira, but the point is that the Gemara seems to say, my chod is hafkos high, smoke high, you shouldn't believe either of them.
Right?
Right? But that's not a Kiddush. That's true in every Akasha.
Yeah,
so Tosa says, like, Tosa has different answers to this question. I'm saying, well, I'm sorry, you're asking me what? In Zomrin?
The question in Zomrin, do we believe
the second
Kachir?
Yeah. The Mazimin. The Mazimin.
In the absence of
Kachir and Drisha? No. Kachir and Drisha is just a way of establishing the content of the Eidos.
So we don't categorically believe
that. No, we believe them in the once we've established that they're Eidos.
Yeah.
We accept their Eidos.
So what's the
Kiddush?
Why not believe the first?
Because it should be Trey Trey.
Right.
And Trey Trey, they're also Drisha the Chakira.
What are you believing for?
First guy says he wasn't
there. First guy also Drisha the Chakira. Drisha Chakira is a function of Eidos.
Right.
It's the same process. Meaning, Tosa is asking in three places. Tosa is asking, Brother Kama, I have the other two here on the page, but we're just over time already, so I'm not going to get into it. The question is, the issue isn't that in Hazama, the Chiddush is that we don't believe the first. So Tosa says in some place, the Chiddush is that we believe the second, but that we don't believe the first. You're right, that's standard. Tosa, Brother Kama gives a different answer. So from Baba Kama says, no, the Chizah's halacha is a din of Safek. The Chizah didn't say you're Badai Pasul. It's a Safek Pasul. Hazama, you're Badai Pasul. That's Tosin Baba Kama's answer to the question. But the other Tosin don't give that answer. So apparently they think that Rav Chizah's halacha is a din Badai. How can it be a din Badai? Badai Shikri Lomeli? Ah. So it seems that according to a sizable view in the Rishonim, if you lose your Peskas Kashrus, even Misafek, you violate Pasul Eidos. It's one way to look at it. Or, where they're obvious to say it a little differently, might be overlapping. Being a Shemeid Mukkash, according to Rav Chizah, undergoing the process of a Kasha, being called a liar by two Eidim, even though you're calling them a liar too. They're better off than you are. But the process of being branded, right, a mukhashim by Eidim, even though it's mutual, creates a psul vadai of Eidos. That's a very important principle. I want to see if that's true, if that's only true for Rav Chizah or sometimes it's true for Rav Huna as well, and what the implications of that are. Next week.